There we go. Sorry, guys. Hello. Welcome back to the DD Geopolitics podcast. I'm here with Chris. Apology in advance. We are going through a little bit of turmoil in our DDG family. So if this episode is not quite as organized, please forgive us. One of our dearest loved ones is terminally ill. And so we're sort of dealing with that right now amongst all of the chaos that's also going on. Yes, Thanksgiving is a fucking ruse. And we're going to get to more ruses and ops today. Chris, how are you? How's things going in your real life?
I'm doing well. Of course, we're sending our love out to our beloved colleague and to our loved one. Hopefully everything goes well and goes smooth. Of course, DD Geopolitics is more than just a news show. It's a family. So of course, we're here for you all. And of course, things here in Moscow, very cold, but weather's here, weather's good. And the special military operation continues, regardless of all the peace talk that's happening. We're advancing and we're taking village and city day by day as we continue.
Big attacks lately. Really good. You guys have also may have heard me crashing out a lot in spaces. First and foremost, I want to apologize if they scare you, but I am at my limit. I am done with the way people act online, in real life, in spaces. This is mostly for Westerners. This has nothing to do with the Easterners that are on spaces that are on Twitter. But I'm tired of it. And I am drawing a boundary. I'm tired of being disrespected and watching other people be disrespected by the same groups of people, whether it's NAFO or Zionists that try to ruin your real life. And coming from Chris and I, to people that have had our real lives turned completely upside down and pretty much came from ruin. It's not okay. So I'm effing done, especially around Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving and Christmas. I am a holiday freak. You're not going to ruin my vibe. You're not
Oh, no. I'm enjoying that slice of pumpkin pie.
I am ready. I am a Christmas fanatic. I love Christmas. Anyway, so I guess we'll start off with the really bad breaking news. Every time we try to do an episode, it's just, again, half hour prior, throw it all into the fire and start over. But we do have some breaking news, sadly, out of Washington, D.C. There is a shooting. This is the footage that we have so far. So the word that we're getting is two National Guardsmen have been shot. Looks like we got a visual on one of them. Appears to be shot in the head. There was a male and a female, both airlifted to a hospital nearby. They have since been pronounced dead. One suspect was arrested. Arias, apologies for you have to see me and Chris at the same time, but here he is. No idea. Don't know ethnicity, don't know anything like that. Of course, people are assuming he's Muslim because that's the default right now, which is scary. You know, I mean, we'd obviously, and I want your opinion. Maybe it's already tinfoil hat hour on or minute on DD Geopolitics, but we have Trump not in town. He's out in Mar-a-Lago. He puts the National Guardsmen in DC, no guns, no handcuffs, no nothing, no nada. They get like rakes and like shovels, and they're basically sitting ducks. And so these two National Guardsmen, they're calling it an ambush, saying they may have been sniped. This seems too professional to be done in Washington, D.C.
I agree. I mean, once again, we're going to go back to our old, you know, our old slogan, basically. You know, this is a strategy of tension, once again. This is whatever forces are at play, whatever forces are at work. I mean, we're in the midst of an enormous amount of pressure for Ukraine, what's going on in the Middle East, Venezuela on the brink. And all of a sudden, we just have two National Guardsmen gunned down in broad daylight in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital, so-called capital that's now the safest city in America. You know, we've cleaned up all the crime. So I don't know. It just smells fishy to me. I'm not saying it's one way or the other. It could have been some rogue elements. Could have been just some random, you know, kids that went out there with rifles or pistols and went out there on a shooting spree. But once again, there's just too much here. And I don't know. I'm putting on the tinfoil hat on this.
It feels yucky.
It feels yucky.
On Thanksgiving. Yeah. So then they have to ground the flights. At first I thought they were doing dramatics, but they grounded the flights at the local airport to our Washington DC International Airport to make sure the helicopters could transport the victims quicker. And so now I forget where I was going with that, but yeah, they locked down pretty quickly. It just feels like a false flag. And immediately, if guys go onto Twitter or go on to one of the social media sites, go look at the politicians. One of the first people to post was, shockingly, Kash Patel's girlfriend.
Oh.
Who says, oh, you're ready. Oh, you get in there and you make it about you. She's like, you guys are worried about things. And the left is killing our National Guardsmen in our Capitol. Here we go. You guys ready? Somebody already said civil war. I mean, go check out the Keith site. Here we go. Yeah, exactly. Jack Posobiec, I'm sure, is going to say something crazy about leftists and trannies and furries. Yeah. And here we go all over again. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And oh, this is where I was going. It's the most traveled day of the year.
It is. It really is. I mean, there's people moving. We're talking about millions of people on the go. So that makes you wonder. It's got to make you wonder. That's all I have to say.
Exactly. It does. So I suggest what we always do in these situations is obviously sit back and sit tight and wait for things to develop and never react emotionally. We're sad and our hearts go out to the National Guardsmen and their families, but don't react emotionally yet. Chris mentions this every episode, the strategy of tension. Matt just said people are super stressed. That is the strategy of tension. Up the stress level, get people freak the hell out. Right in time for the holidays, we have money issues, economy issues. Now we have violence, mass violence in the streets. We have half of our administration is living behind the walls of military bases. They just came out and said, we're upping the security budget for the members of the government so they can have larger security details because of the threat. And you have to wonder, are they manufacturing the threat to make it an us versus them? Or is there really a legitimate threat? Because we talked about this in depth on one of our episodes when they were moving onto the bases. Tulsi Gabbard, who has received legitimate threats, was denied relocation to the military base. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, who showed her legitimate threats, has basically been scoffed and laughed at. So is there really a legitimate threat against government officials? Because if there were, I feel like they would take Tulsi and Marjorie Taylor Greene a little bit more seriously.
Maybe against some government officials, not all government officials. It makes you wonder who's making the threat.
Yep. Maybe the ones they want to feel threatened are the ones that are getting locked and stuff that are not allowed to move. Because Tulsi was on the outs, and MTG is obviously
exactly
very far on the outs.
And I want to say to this point, don't think that this is going to happen like all of a sudden floodgates. This is the slow boil frog in the water. We don't know we're cooking until it's already too late. So don't think people are oftentimes like, oh, this is a false flag and then nothing happened after. No, it's a slow build. Mm-hmm. When they killed Kennedy, then they killed RFK Jr., mm-hmm. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Huey P. Newton. I mean, this was in a span of years. And that ended in what? Those moments erupted in violence, brought down. Again, another episode, eruption of violence brought down. So just think about this in the long durée. Don't think about it immediately like this is going to bring on some, storming of the Winter Palace. It doesn't work that way in history normally. Those are anomalies. And oftentimes out of control. But these controlled moments continue to feed into everybody's anxiety, as already people are saying in the chat. People are anxious. People are nervous. People are on edge. People are already living paycheck to paycheck. There's a lot of concerns about what's going on around the world and domestically. This just adds fuel to the fire.
Hi, Uncle Haas. Thank you for coming. Always say hi to Uncle Haas.
I'm with John.
Exactly. It's a strategy of tension. It's a slow burn. I am trying to get in touch with MTG. Yes, she does watch the show and she does read our material, but we're going to talk about her today. She is not in a very good place right now. I'm not really sure what's going on with MTG. We'll talk about it with you guys. This episode was planned to be a very funny episode in time for Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. We were going to do a funny women in politics episode. So we'll start off with the bad news and we'll keep you guys updated as the episode goes on, but let's try to move on to some levity for the holiday. So, you know, that there's a great, there's a wonderful trope going around that women shouldn't be in politics. I think I'm going to make the case for that with this episode. Because this weekend, the girls were running the, who run the world? So they were going crazy. They were seriously. Let's start out with Maria Elvira Salazar. Maria is a daughter of Cuban exiles, another Gusana. Grew up mostly in Puerto Rico, and then obviously grew up the rest of her life in a Little Havana, graduate of Harvard, Business Administration, something like that, et cetera, et cetera. Started off on Telemundo and then went to CNN Espanol. Interviewed Pinochet. That's her claim to fame. So if it gives you an idea.
Whoa.
And so this is her on Venezuela.
Because Maduro is the head of a transnational criminal organization.
Yeah.
Maduro is not the legitimate president of the country. So we're not invading a sovereign country that has a free and fair elected democratic president. No, this guy is a thug.
Yeah.
And he's good friends with Hezbollah. They are giving uranium to Hamas and to Iran and to North Korea and to Cuba and to Nicaragua. Come on, it's time for the United States to do what we need to do. And thank God that Trump is doing it. And I'm telling you that these people, the Venezuelans, have the largest reserves of oil in the world, more than Saudi Arabia. We're talking about this is going to be a windfall for us when it comes to fossil fuels.
Well, and again, it's the actual transition that a lot of Americans are a little wary about because of the fact that regime change always has unintended consequences.
Unintended
consequences. Unintended consequences.
I meant to make a meme where, like, with Maduro looking like Oprah going, you get uranium and you get uranium and you get uranium and everybody gets uranium. Hamas, uranium for Hezbollah, uranium for Iran. Nicaragua has uranium now from Maduro.
Listen, I've been a couple times this year. I haven't gotten my uranium quota. I'm going to get my uranium quota. Fuck that. Yeah, absolutely. Where's my uranium?
I'll go to Venezuela soon. Maybe I'll bring you guys back some uranium.
We'll bring you back some good stuff. Yellow cake. You remember yellow cake?
Bring you back unrefined oil and some uranium, I guess. And anthrax. And that's, oh, and cocaine, of course. Of course. They have all the cocaine is in Venezuela. Just mountains of cocaine everywhere you go.
Anyways. Forget about your grandma's cake on Thanksgiving. We're bringing the yellow cake.
No fruit cake. We're bringing yellow cake. Female crash out number two. Marjorie Taylor Greene. This starts last night. Okay. So Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay. She posts about, here we go. Last night she says, campaign season is starting. Any exodus from the White House is going to be purely campaign proposals or purposes that reel in huge profits. Interesting. You just resigned, but okay, move on. Still love MTG. We'll move on. Then she also posts yesterday, only 20% of Americans are on X. And this is where the political industrial complex controls a hive mind with hyper-partisan politics. It's toxic, hateful, and divisive. Many accounts are paid and many are foreign, and they post and comment all day with targeted talking points in order to sway your opinion. However, it's not real life. Real life exists without a phone, tablet, or computer. Real life is tangible, involves relationships with people, productive work, and all the fun, amazing adventures the beautiful world has to offer. Real life among common Americans is what holds this country up, and where the solutions for our future reside. Most of all, it's where happiness is. And Mike Cernovich writes, you need to serve out your full term. Context on Mike Cernovich. Please go read Mike Cernovich's blog about his experience in Thailand with a surprise lady boy. Mike Cernovich has no business commenting on anyone or what they should do or what they shan't do. Okay. Especially since the guy has made a living off of being anti-communist and he doesn't even know what communism is. So we're really not playing with the full deck. Mike Cernovich, you're a piece of shit and you gave oral sex to a lady boy and then described it in detail in a blog because you are a freak and you want everybody else to be involved in your disgusting fetish. I'm sick of these fucking influencers getting us involved in their bullshit. We don't want to be involved in your sick fetish. And now you're going after Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's a whole nother can of worms. Anyway, so moving on to today. She quotes where she puts up a screenshot of psychotic Mark Levin. And she says this and not delivering America first results will be the end of the Republican Party. He is censoring Tucker Carlson. If you're friends with Tucker Carlson, I can't be friends with you.
I can't be friends with you.
Taking my toys and I'm going home.
It's like elementary school.
It's ridiculous.
God almighty.
So MTG Today retweets Mike Cernovich and says, oh, I haven't suffered enough for you while you post all day behind a screen. Do I have to stay until I'm assassinated like our friend Charlie Kirk? Will that be good for you then? Shit posting on the internet all day isn't fighting. Get off your ass and run for Congress. I fought harder than anyone in the real arena, not social media. Put down your little pebbles and put your money where your mouth is. She is sick of these influencers. She's going out.
She's going out with a bang. We can relate.
I can relate. I am sick of these influencers. Why am I involved in your family's life? You having Christmas in Trump Tower in November. Why am I involved in that?
Yeah.
Why am I involved?
Like
Shut
we care.
Fuck up. Nobody fucking cares about your kids, your fucking family. And MTG is, I'm sorry, but she's spot on. She might be crashing out. She might be acting a little hysterical, but she is fed up.
Fed up.
You know it's
being weaponized. A lot of this, think about it this way. You know, people bring you in to their life. You know, they kind of like they're posting the personal stuff and this and that. And then they get you. That's when they got, they hook you. Mm-hmm. They hook you. They bring you right in.
I'll take the bait.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not into seeing who can hold the biggest pity party. Supporting my country in 2015 and backing Trump completely upended my world. No, it was literally sucking someone's penis. That's what upended your world. Absolute freak. Many saw this in real time. I always supported you and defended you against lies. You ran for re-election and owe your voters a full term. You should just mind your business, Cernovich, because you were at the fucking Binder Gate, which started this whole fucking charade. Okay? Anybody that was at Binder Gate, anybody that takes money from these sick advertisers, this is your fault. You have no place to tell MTG where she should go or what she should serve or how long she should sit in office. And not only that, but then field threats from you and your ilk while the fucking president, she laid her life down on the line for it, laughs at her. She doesn't owe us that. Nobody owes us that.
Yep, you're right.
Get fucked. Then she goes crazy. She has another reply. So your support is telling me to stay in there until I'm murdered and keep fighting the broken system that can't be fixed. That's not support. That's cruel. Instead of listening to me, tell all of you that it's broken far beyond repair. More than you know, you throw rocks. Again, run for Congress. Stop keyboarding. I agree. We've talked about, like, we've been saying this for 10 years. We're not going to be able to vote our way out of this. But then that was all on her personal account. She makes it official and goes to her government account.
Uh-oh.
Typical of Republic that she fucked up. Sorry, MTG. I love you. You had me in the first half. Not going to lie. But this is where you fucked up. And as a fellow woman, I'm a little bit irritated that you made it about this. Typical of Republican men telling a woman to shut up and get back in the kitchen and fix me something to eat. Fuck you. In the sweetest and most Southern drawl I can enunciate, I have been trying to tell you men that our kitchen pantry is empty with spiderwebs. Our house has been ransacked. The windows and doors are broken and busted. And the greedy rich bastards have twisted your minds into a sick state that you all continue in the two-party toxic political system that acts like college football playoffs, yet is burying you and your children and their children and their children in a pine box in a shallow grave. Get off your ass and fix your own damn food and clean up the kitchen when you're done. Okay, the message is great, but you bookended it with two feminist retarded sentences that all men are now going to latch on and just say, you look like a feminist nutcase. So that's the end. You fucked up. It's over. It just sucks.
It's tragic. It's tragic to see.
Because everything in between was right. And it should be more about us being the proverbial or the hypothetical man and woman being a team and fixing that house. And she should have approached it more from a softer angle, especially since she was using her official account. I just don't, I don't disagree. I just disagree with the approach here just because of how they're going to drag her. And they already are. I think Nick Fuentes posted about her being a whiny feminist, which I don't blame him for posting that, because that's what it sounds like to a guy. Whiny feminism. He never told you to get back into the kitchen. He said, get back to work.
Right.
Which would be right. The opposite of getting back in the kitchen. You're serving political office. So I don't know. I just didn't really like that message. And hopefully there's not too much fallout.
But you know that this stuff generates we're talking about it. So it generates the interest, it generates the content, it generates the like and the traffic. And that's just, you know, that's par for the course. Sure. I mean, you saw also on some other parts of Twitter, you know, girl posting in front of an iconostasis in a Greek Orthodox church, and like half of Twitter blew up. You know, why are you posting? Why aren't you posting this and that? I just think that a lot of this stuff, who cares? Who just live your life? Like, what's going on? But you know how it is. You know, I post a picture outside of a church in Russia and everyone's like, you're in a terrorist state.
Your posts are the best. You get the best replies. Just like terrorist.
Yeah. Or people are like, he's Indian. I'm like, I'm Indian.
I'm Indian.
Hello, sir. Hello. Wait.
There we go.
My friend.
My friend.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break from the girls for one second. We will definitely come back to them, but we'll stop in with Trump. He did have a press gaggle last night. We'll get Chris's thoughts on the peace plan. This is Trump on whether or not Zelensky's coming to D.C.
What would you like to know today?
Could you start off by telling us the latest one with Russia and Ukraine? Are you expecting Zelensky to come visit you?
We're having good, I don't know, he would like to come, but I think we should get a deal done first. We're having good talks. We started with Russia. We're having some talks with Russia. Ukraine is doing well. I think they're pretty happy about it. They'd like to see it end. And we won't know for a little while, but we're making progress.
What are the big stages?
We settled 8 wars, and I thought this would be one of the easier ones because of my relationship with President Putin. But this is probably one of the more difficult ones. There's a lot of hatred.
You said there were a few points of disagreement that were still left to be. Can you tell us what those are? What the points of disagreement?
Standard things, but people are starting to realize it's a good deal for both parties, and they got to stop the war. They're losing a lot of people, a lot of soldiers, mostly soldiers.
In that 28-point plan that was originally leaked.
So he wants the deal before Zelensky even comes to Washington. I don't know really how that works. Zelensky responded by saying, I'll come to Washington, but I want the Europeans to come with me, because he needs to have his handlers and his sort of human shields. So the Europeans will go.
Are they going to have that photo up again where Trump's behind the desk and all of them are in a semicircle around him? And like, kind of like,
I hope so.
Cool, you know?
We can get a progression pick. I don't know, man. This feels like Gaza, and maybe we'll get a little bit more into it, but the reporter asks about sticking points.
In that 28-point plan that was originally leaked, there was portions of that that said that Ukraine needed to cut.
The original proposal, and then from there we went back and
forth. So when it comes to ceding land to Russia, is that still on the table, or has that changed?
They're talking about going land both ways and trying to clean up a border. You know, you can't go through the middle of a house. You can't go through the middle of a highway. So they're trying to work something. It's a complicated process. Doesn't go that quickly.
What about security guarantees and Ukraine joining NATO?
We're working that out with Europe. Europe will be largely involved in that. We're working that out with Europe. And Europe really wants to see it end if possible.
So we're already done. The peace plan's done, because we went from Ukraine will never join NATO to now it's up to the Europeans. So that's the end of the peace plan. Ukraine joining NATO is a non-starter.
No, it's absolutely red light. There's no possible. The whole thing started because of NATO. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to just leave the door open? Are you kidding me? Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not to mention, what I don't know if we have the clip, but the Ukrainians responded about another point in the plan.
Which one?
Territorial concessions.
Mm-hmm.
Said we don't agree to any recognition of territory lost to Russia since 2014, and it's not even to Russia, DPR, LPR, Crimea, not recognized as Russian territory. How are we?
Still as far apart as we were when this started. There's been no steps closer.
No,
The only problems that have been solved in the process have been problems that were created by the war, such as prisoner exchanges, et cetera.
The logistical problems. But nothing
in regards to the goals of the SMO. And I think Lavrov was the one who responded and said, if this doesn't address the initial goals of the SMO, they should just throw it out. I don't know what they're bargaining for.
Once again, another often quoted, saying from us here, the root causes need to be addressed. I mean, we've been saying it ad nauseum. We've got hair on our tongues at this point. The root causes need to be addressed. Until they're addressed, no solution, no peace. All victory will be achieved on the battlefield. I'm sorry to say, the Ukrainian line is slowly collapsing. Everyone's saying it. In fact, I just heard today from some sources here that they are seeing greater and greater numbers of foreigners killed at the front because all the foreign mercenaries have been mobilized and sent to storm. They've been sent to the trenches, to the front line. That's to show you how bad things are.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And so on the topic of ceding territory, we've already backed off of that too. Let's hear what Trump has to say.
There were a lot of Republicans who felt that the first 28-point plan was too favorable to Russia. Have you changed that?
That was just a map. All that was is a map. That was not a plan. It was a concept. And from there, they've taken each one of the 28 points, and then you get down to 22 points. A lot of them were solved, and actually very favorably solved. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think that Ukraine was being asked to give too much land back to Russia? I know at one point you said they shouldn't have to give any back.
It's really up. Look, the way it's going, if you look, it's just moving in one direction. So eventually that's land that over the next couple of months might be gotten by Russia anyway. So do you want to fight and lose another 50, 60,000 people? Or do you want to do something now? In some cases, the land is going in the other direction. So they're negotiating. They're trying to get it done. You want to have a border? You can't have a border that goes through a highway or border that goes through the middle of a town. So it doesn't work. So it's a long, complicated process. And very, very sad because so many people are being killed.
So the map was just a concept. They're actually, both sides are losing land. This is not true.
No. What land is Russia losing? Somebody please point to a map and tell me land that Russia's losing. They tried in Kursk.
The plan went from 28 points down to 22 already. So.
And it's going to go to zero.
It's going to go to zero.
I'm sorry. There's just nothing that's going to happen. I get it. People like Witkoff want to do business in Russia. They wanted to open up Kirill Dmitriev. They probably got some projects, joint ventures and things like that. The bigger political issues, strategic issues, military issues need to be addressed. We know Witkoff's a businessman. Kirill Dmitriev's a businessman. But the bigger issues and the bigger businessmen and the bigger industries, they're going to have their peace and say first. And they still want war. Western industry still won war. It's good business. Why stop?
And this is where it becomes revelation. So there was rumor mills going around. This is so funny to me. Initially saying Marco Rubio revealed, or somebody, that the plan was actually a Russian plan written in Russian and then handed over to the Americans. Why the would Russians hand a Russian plan written in Russian to Americans and risk it being misinterpreted or mistranslated? They know how dumb the Americans are.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So that was the first thing. Trump actually dispels that rumor, which once again, we were right. We knew this to be true. We said it sounded exactly like Gaza. Okay, here's Trump. This is a little bit longer. Bear with me.
What's the next step?
They're going to keep talking. They're talking to Russia now. Steve Witkoff is going over, maybe with Jared. I'm not sure about Jared going, but he's involved in the process. Smart guy. And they're going to be meeting with President Putin, I believe, next week in Moscow.
Next week in Moscow?
I think so.
What kinds of concessions are the Russians going to have to make?
Well, they're making concessions. Their big concession is they stop fighting and they don't take any more land. Again, it's a war that would have never happened if I was president. This was not anything that was going to happen. This happened because of stupidity. It's too bad.
So if Witkoff is going to Russia next week, does that mean that Thanksgiving deadline doesn't stand anymore for Ukraine to agree to this deal?
See what happens. They set up a date And the date is going to be sometime in the very near future.
Do you have a new deadline for a deal to be reached?
I have a deadline. You know what the deadline for me is? When it's over. And I think everybody's tired of fighting at this moment. They're losing too many people.
Have you heard this audio that Bloomberg has of Witkoff coaching the Russians on how to appeal to you and get on your good side?
No, but that's a standard thing. You know, because he's got to sell this to Ukraine. He's got to sell Ukraine to Russia. That's what a deal maker does. You got to say, look, they want this. You've got to convince them of this. You know, that's a very standard form of negotiation. I haven't heard it, but I heard it was standard negotiation. And I would imagine he's saying the same thing to Ukraine, because each party has to give and take.
So you're not worried that he's too pro-Russian?
I think, look, this war could go on for years, and Russia's got a lot more people, got a lot more soldiers. So I think if Ukraine can make a deal, it's a good thing. I think it's great for both. Frankly, I think it's great for both. But Ukraine's got it's a much smaller group of people. They've lost a lot of people. Russia's lost a lot of people. But Russia has a much bigger pool of people.
Mr. President.
Wow, we can math. That's good.
That's good. I'm glad we're quoting math.
a lot to unpack there. That looks to be that the story is true, that we initially reported that the plan was written in a rush by Kushner and Witkoff on the way back from Israel or Cairo or whatever after the Gaza debacle. It's written exactly like Gaza. It sounds like Gaza. And Kellogg is out. He's done. And why is Jared Kushner meeting with Putin before this is a mess.
It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And let's be honest, this is made almost with that same like board commercial corporate mentality.
He mentions it in his plan. He wants the board of peace to also be involved in Ukraine, Russia. That just puts
the board of peace. There's a nuclear power. It's a standing. It's a permanent member of the Security Council.
Yeah. They don't need their hand held.
Handheld? They're going to be holding somebody else's hand, I guarantee it. They're going to be no hands if they're done with the special military operation. They're going to chop them all up at this point.
Then he says the thing about Witkoff talking to the Russians. I don't believe for a second that the Russians need coaching or if they care if they're on Trump's good side or not. What the hell do they care? You need to get on on the Russians' good side. Trump even admits that. He says they got to sell it to the Ukrainians. They got to sell it to the Russians. Why would the Russians worry about being on Trump's good side? I hate to do this to you guys, but Michael McFaul, of course, had to put his opinion in the mix. When I worked for Obama, I advised him on how to talk to Russian leaders. I never gave the Kremlin advice on how to talk to Obama, and I talked to Ushakov many times. I believe Michael McFaul, but that's because they were an adversary.
Maybe the
Trump administration doesn't see them as an adversary. They see them as a business opportunity.
That's right.
It's a different mentality. Totally different,
mentality.
Now to segue us back to the girls, here's Trump on his last question was about China and Japan.
The governor has totally lost control of the state and the mayor is grossly incompetent.
How was your call with the Japanese prime minister? Can you tell us about it?
I had a great talk. I have a very good relationship with her. I also had a very good talk with President Xi of China. And I think that part of the world is doing fine.
Can you tell us about the content of your talks?
Mostly trade.
Trade?
I spoke to President Xi about a lot of things, but trade and buying our farm products. And he said he agreed with me. I think he's going to very much surprise you on the upside. I asked him, I'd like you to buy it a little faster. I'd like you to buy more. And he's more or less agreed to do that. I think we will be pleasantly surprised by the actions of President Xi. I have a good relationship, great relationship with him. I like him. He likes me. I'm going to be going there in April. I guess you'll all be going with me, but I'm going to be going to China in April. With Japan, likewise, I just came back from Japan, and we have a great relationship. The new prime minister and myself, she's very smart, she's very strong, and she's going to be a great leader. Thank you very much, everybody.
This woman, I find this woman fascinating. She is batshit crazy. So
she's a wild one.
But first, the China thing. I have tried to make somebody make a bet with me, but they don't want to make a bet. I was betting that that conversation never happened. but nobody will take that against me. So, I mean, things are going well, but I don't think that that conversation ever happened. I don't believe for a second that Xi loves Trump.
Listen, I think that they might have a good, you know, at least like cordial relationship, but like love him? I don't know. He said some pretty bad things about China. I mean, she loves his country more than Trump, I guarantee it.
Right. So Trump and I'm going to butcher her name, but I'm Sanai Takaichi, maybe? I'm right? They are bosom buddies. They are very friendly, but that's because they're both batshit crazy. Here they are last month meeting one another. Never mind. Anyway, they met together. And again, guys, apologize for the technical stuff. Our producer is dealing with the things we talked about earlier. But anyway, so she did meet up with Trump and she gave him Abe's putter.
Yeah, at the golf club, right?
Yeah, he's dead. Like, that was just strange. But anyway, so she's interesting. Her early life is very interesting. She was born to a middle-class family, Toyota worker. And I think her mother might have been like a teacher or something along like that. Oh, she was a cop. That's right. She's incredibly intelligent. She qualified for very elite schools and elite universities, but she turned them all down to go to Kobe University and to commute 3 hours each way. I don't know, like, I always tell you guys Japan is the most autistic country in the world. They are a collectively autistic country. Anyway, so post-grad, she goes to the Matsushita Institute for Policy Wonks, and then she grabs her 1987 Congressional Fellowship. She's also a certified sommelier. She's practices judo, karate, and scuba. She's a Toyota Supra enthusiast.
My God.
Now her first Toyota is now in a museum. She also rides Kawasaki motorcycles. She's into anime, manga, and she also plays in a heavy metal band.
Wow.
I'm autistic too. So my autistic radar is really good. So I lived in Japan. So when I say that they're autistic, they're very precise, very specific, very fastidious. It's very, very interesting. They're very, 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 very interesting people. But she climbed up through the ranks with Abe, who's now obviously passed away. He was killed. She is a huge China hawk. She calls the potential invasion of Taiwan a survival threat to Japan. She wants more United States missiles. So now you know why Trump adores her. She's incredibly conservative, but she's also a feminist. It's very strange. She's opposing. She opposes same-sex marriages and women are not. She doesn't want women holding onto their maiden names. But she also like encourages women to work, which is just capitalism. I mean, that's not really feminism. She wants to crack down on tourism and immigration, land grabs, et cetera, et cetera. She frames World War II as a security war, not a war against aggression. She also...
Can we pause there?
Yeah, go.
I got to pause there. Okay, listen, today I had a great interview with a Chinese media outlet, my friend Alex at Reportify. And he asked me the question, he's like, what is going on with China and Japan? And I said, look, once again, we're in the same predicament as with Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, the rest. If you don't know your history, you are stuck at sea. You are still in the water. It's stillborn. Like there's no way to achieve anything in terms of progress, peace, development, cooperation, unless you recognize that history. And for those out there who don't know, Japan was one of the Axis powers. It had a formal alliance with Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. But before they went on their rampage, Japan already began its rampage. And it was rampaging through Asia, Korea, China, Indochina, the islands of various island nations, including the Philippines, right? And so when you understand that, when you recognize that over 30 million Chinese alone died in this period, that's 3+ million more than the Soviet experience. And you know how powerful the Soviet experience is for the people in Russia and in the CIS countries. Just imagine for China. And we have very prominent cases, right? The rape of Nanjing. We have a whole slew of horrific crimes, because actually the Japanese in many ways were even more sadistic to the Chinese, to the Koreans, to the Vietnamese, and to others, right? So what I want to say is, what's the problem here? The problem is that Japan has never recognized nor accounted for its crimes, minus the, you know, sham war tribunal that they had in Japan. And okay, you know, blah, 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 slap a few heads and that was it, right? The society has never dealt with that. And successive governments, especially in the past two decades, have been even more nationalistic, even more militaristic. And that means that the rearmament of Japan, the remilitarization of Japan, is a major security threat for China, as well as for the DPRK, which remembers its own experience. Remember, Kim Jong-un's grandfather was the leader of the resistance against Japanese imperialism. That's how close we are. Imagine your grandparents. Kim Jong-un's grandfather was literally fighting the Japanese. So we're not too far away. We're not too far removed from this history. The problem is that the Japanese, especially the political class, continue to venerate at the shrines of those who died in the war, and they see them as heroes. They do not acknowledge a lot of the crimes that are recognized as crimes, especially by the Chinese. So I just want to say that when you're looking at all of this in its totality, and when you understand that she's a China hawk, for the Chinese, they don't see it as a China hawk today. Right. They see it as Japanese imperialism once again. And exactly. So I just want people to understand that. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Geopolitics requires an understanding of history.
I don't, and this is the problem, I think, and forgive me, this is where I guess maybe this might be a little bit, I don't know, but we're so centered on the Holocaust aspect of World War II. There were Holocausts everywhere. There was a Serbian Holocaust. There was a Russian Holocaust. There was Holocaust in the Baltics. There were Holocausts in China. So, and like Chris said, it's what, three times more than what Russia lost in the war. This is an existential, terrifying threat. Okay. When they see the rising sun flag of Japan, that's illegal in China. The police will come and take it from you. They thought that a Macedonian flag was the Japanese imperial flag, and they went and ripped it out of the people's hands. This is very serious. This is like 9/11, like even more so than 9/11, our feelings towards 9/11. It's not okay to think that China has to coexist with a woman who was threatening them. Not only that, but she's a member of Nippon Kaigi, which is the ultra-nationalist group that pushes for a reinstallation of imperialism, Imperial Japan. Why would China not feel threatened?
That's a major threat, because Japan also hosts U.S. military bases that have nuclear weapons.
Correct. Correct.
Come on, put yourself in China's shoes.
So in a recent congressional session, she went crazy. She said a Chinese attack on Taiwan is a survival threatening situation for Japan, and greenlit self-defense forces to back U.S. operations under the security treaty. She echoed Abe's Taiwan emergency is Japan's emergency, but she cranked it up, suggested missile strikes on mainland launch sites if needed. This triggered instant chaos. A Chinese diplomat in Tokyo posted threats on X and said China or Japan has now crossed a red line. Patrols have ramped up. Foreign Minister Wang Yi blasted it as a brazen provocation at the UN. And Beijing skipped talks with Japan at the G20. So this is getting not good. And Japan's on the brink of economic collapse anyway. So it's
not to mention demographic collapse.
Collapse as well. Right. And they tried to bring in a lot of immigrants to fix that, which I also agree is not the solution to the problem. But the Japanese reacted so antagonistic that they did away with that plan. They shelved it, which so now even more demographic collapse. Yes, they're in a very bad spot. Their population is extremely old. And if you guys have ever been to Japan, you can almost see the loss of culture. I mean, look at this woman. She's obsessed with Margaret Thatcher. She's in a metal band. She does nothing that's Japanese besides ride Toyotas and Kawasaki's. She's obsessed with Western culture. It's just, and that's part of the reason why Japan is the way that it is. So then she arrives late to the G20. She arrives an hour late. a Japanese person, not just a Japanese official, a Japanese person late. And you should see the comments. They're like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. Because Japanese people are not late.
No.
So she's an hour late. You think it would be technical issues. This is why I made it about women. You guys are going to laugh. So she explains why she was late, because, you know, Japanese people are incredibly embarrassed about this because for obvious reasons. But she says, why I was late. She was on her way and she posts this from her version of Air Force One. Somebody inside of the Diet or somebody in the government said, from now on, Prime Minister Taikachi and all the cabinet members will have to negotiate with leaders from countries around the world. At that time, if possible, I want you to conduct those diplomatic negotiations firmly in clothes made from Japan's finest fabrics, from Japan's finest artisans. If you handle it in cheap clothes, you'll be looked down upon. That's correct. You should, especially if you're a woman. If you notice, when any of the women officials, they wear designers from their country almost all the time. Asma Assad only wore Syrian designers exclusively. So that's like kind of a thing that political women sort of do. It's kind of a way to show your like loyalty and patriotism. But anyway, so it goes on. This actually shook her up. She says, I cleared my morning schedule yesterday to pack for the trip, but what took an incredibly long time after agonizing was choosing my outfits. I don't own clothes made from Japan's finest fabrics or by Japan's finest artists, but Mr. Ando's point feels like it has some merit. So I spent hours selecting from the clothes that had come back from the cleaners, ones that don't look cheap and won't get me looked down upon. In the end, with limited options on hand, I finished packing with the jacket and dress combination that everyone is used to seeing. But still, for diplomatic negotiations, I might need to buy clothes. What the fuck is going on?
Madness, I'm telling you.
Madness. That can't be real.
Delusions. Who knows? Fantasies.
This
who
is
knows?
Terrifying. It is terrifying.
Who knows what's going on these days?
This is nuts. So, and then to round out the hysterical women episode, you know, I couldn't forget my girl, Georgia.
Oh, Meloni.
So that's how this is going. But yeah. So guys, we do have a reaction, Trump's response to the shooting. The animal that shot the two National Guardsmen, with both being critically wounded and now in two separate hospitals, is also severely wounded. He's not severely wounded, but regardless, will pay a very steep price. Oh, dear. Guys, keep your eyes on this. This is going to explode. I already know it.
And you know, you listen to this. This is another thing you have to think about. Everyone is going to be around the dinner table, around a common space, and they're going to be chit-chatting. And you know as well as I do, Sarah, dearest, you know very well, on Thanksgiving is when the tensions rise within families, politics, religion, this, that, you know, and we know for the crash outs over the past decade, over, you know, you're a Trump, you're MAGA, you're this, you're that, you're a socialist, you're a communist, whatever it is. But imagine now the heightened tensions, Charlie, because imagine what's happened since last Thanksgiving. Everybody gets together. Charlie Kirk, Russia, Ukraine, Gaza, this shooting, this thing, that thing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I just want to say that every house is a ticking time bomb.
That's really smart. They did it last year too. Remember, Israel did an operation either right before on Thanksgiving, and they did another one on the Super Bowl. Same strategy. Very much the same strategy. All very psychological. I want you guys to continue to pay attention to that, how people react to it. There's people calling for civil war.
Yeah.
And the fact that last night on Air Force One, Trump verbatim said that Washington, D.C. was now the safest city in America, and he can't even protect his own troops in his country.
The own troops are not even armed.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because I've never experienced unarmed soldiers except on base doing, you know, daily tasks.
Yeah.
But actually deployed, because technically they're deployed.
Yeah, they're deployed.
They're on active duty, right? And so when they're armed in New York City subways, like how are they not armed in the nation's capital?
Okay, let's see what we've got. What we know, the mayor of this is Muriel Bowser. She's not running for re-election, by the way. What we know is that this is a targeted shooting. The individual appeared to target. Yeah, no shit. They appeared to target the National Guard members. Thank you. Thank you for this.
No, it was
both National
bullets.
Guard members who were ambushed were armed. Jeff Carroll says, he's the assistant chief of DC Metro Police, says, we are still investigating who exactly shot the individual, the suspect. Nobody knows who shot the suspect. We are at the very preliminary investigation at this time. The suspect is still in the hospital receiving treatment. Cash Patel says, we are in the preliminary stage of this investigation. We will run down every single lead. Press conference has ended. Get ready for the trannies and the furries and the too fast, too furious and all of it. This is so.
They were armed. But were they armed with sidearms or were they armed?
I don't even think they were armed, dude, because when they deployed the guard there, they said they weren't going to be armed and they weren't going to have handcuffs either. This is terrifying.
I don't know what's going on, but it's definitely suspicious. I gotta say. This stuff's suspicious.
And I'm sorry, but they're really trying to come down on the Democrats. The Democrats put out a really cringe, terrible video. I should have uploaded it, but saying to our troops, if you notice that you're being ordered to do things that are illegal, you need to speak up, which is the correct thing to do and absolutely what you're supposed to do as a soldier. And then this happens.
Oh, come on. Come on.
And they're about to go on a very illegal, very retarded war on Venezuela that nobody that I know in the military wants to participate in.
Not to mention they've been threatening Mexico. They've been threatening a whole bunch of other countries. I mean, we're looking at a wider regional, you know, conflict as in our hemisphere.
Maybe they'll make this guy Hispanic because he doesn't. Guys, look at, they're already screaming Muslim, Muslim. I can't tell. He looks white to me. And nobody knows a religion from looking at somebody. Maybe you can look at his penis and see if it's circumcised or not.
Well, that's most American guys anyway. So that's not even a good indicator.
But yeah, I would stand by. I would just stand back with this. We didn't get involved with the Charlie Kirk thing. And I think that we made the right move by sort of practicing caution and waiting for the facts. And that's exactly what we'll do with this one.
What was that famous slogan? Stand by, stand this. And what was that? Remember that one that they did? I think it was, I don't remember, in the past few years. Somebody was quoted as saying, you know, stand by, stand this, stand that. I'm trying to remember. Maybe somebody in the chat remembers that famous quote.
Stand back and stand by?
Yeah. Stand back. Yeah, that was Trump. Remember? What was it after? I don't remember if it was after January 6th. I'm trying to remember the concept.
It was 2020, September. Because of white supremacist groups and their role in the violence.
Yes. That was it.
He was supposedly saying that to the far right extremists. He did. Stand back and stand by. Just wait till next term. I'm going to make you all famous and a lot of money.
There we go.
Stand back and stand by. Guys, just hang tight. Hang tight. We're going to get through this together. And next term. And now look at them. And now his congresswoman has to fight with it, the influencers that he empowered to be like this. This is fantastic.
Listen, the chat is right. They're going to be people who are going to say it was Putin. It was Iranian sleeper cells. Hezbollah.
The Iranian sleeper cell is definitely. Thank you, Anita. I love him. That's another thing. Israel did launch maneuvers last night in the Iraqi airspace, practicing launching on Iran. And then today, Kurdistan is on fire.
Interesting.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
Interesting. Everything's up.
All right, guys. We're going to leave you in the chaos and anarchy. Come find us if you need a friend or a partner in these dark times. But I think things are going to get worse. Keep our family member in your thoughts and prayers, please. It's not looking too great, but we will, all things permitting, we will be back with you on Sunday. If you need a crash out partner, come find me. But if you need a dancing partner, go find Chris.
I'm ready. Listen, I want to wish all of our viewers, all of our listeners, a very happy and blessed holiday, Thanksgiving, however you celebrate or don't celebrate. Enjoy family, enjoy loved ones, get close together with whoever you have, far or near, and make sure you show some love, spread the love, not to be all, you know, kumbaya kind of stuff. But listen, at the end of the day, we got this life, we got what's here. Let's try to make it a better place for everybody. Let's try to leave it better than we found it. So
super chats, happy early turkey day. Can't call this Turkish anymore. That's a anti-Semitic. And this is a real friend, guys. Take note. Hello. This bitch is on Thanksgiving vacation in Mexico. Still watching the stream. Thank you, Chai. We'll talk to you when you're drunk later off of your all-inclusive drinks. Stoshik says, thank you for appearing on. You're all over the place these days. You're on every show. Like, you're everywhere. I wanted to let you guys know that we are shadow banned on both platforms, YouTube and X. So you guys might notice that you've been unfollowed or that you've been auto unfollowed us. So just check your stuff and maybe turn on notifications. And then Uncle Haas, thank you so much. And even though you don't celebrate it, you have a happy Thanksgiving. And we really are thankful for all of you guys. We couldn't be thankful enough. The show is going so well. You guys have been so great. The vibe is great. And I couldn't ask for anything better. As we enter into some really, really dark times, I'm glad that I have all of you guys and the DDG family. But on that note, very gay and sappy note, we will see you guys on Sunday and have a happy, wonderful Thanksgiving. And tell your family the same thing. Exercise caution and don't react. Wait for more facts.
Remember, critically think, open that mind, use that noggin.
We love you guys. Take care. Bye. Talk soon.